Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Dave Plyer on this, I want to say, beautiful Sunday morning already. It's upper 60s. It's going to be a beautiful day ahead, sunny for another Cubs game. Taking the family today, Dave. Good morning to you again.
Good morning again. You're going to the game today?
I am going to the game today. Yeah. I had a very nice gentleman, one of the longtime ushers who listens to the program, offered to get us on the field and do some other things. I haven't done it yet because my entire family has not yet been to one game. Like, one family member keeps being missed going to the game. Like, not all five of us have been there. So
Wait a minute. You said your family's going? What?
Yes.
We're not family? What is the problem? Oh, my gosh. Thanks so much.
My apologies. You know what, though? I got to tell you.
Nothing like being included here.
I'm sorry. But you know what? I got to tell you something. It has been for years now. I have a 15-year-old, 11-year-old, and I have a 3 going on 4. It's tough having him at the game because to sit there
your
for 4 or 5 hours.
Your oldest is 15 already?
He's driving, Dave.
Ooh.
He's driving. Yeah, you're going to see him because he's going to come in with me on Father's Day Sunday, and he's going to do the show with me. And
oh, really?
Yeah, we might let him do some sports, too, because he's doing some Notre Dame broadcasting stuff at his school, too. So he's gonna hang out. So you'll see him, but he's a couple inches taller than me, Dave, if you can believe that, even since you last
15.
Saw him.
15.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, they're at that age where all of a sudden they just, boom,
yeah,
grow up.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
It's scary. But nice to have you. Thanks for coming in early. Again, we'll start next week at 2.
Oh.
I know. I'm really dragging your butt out of bed. But thanks for coming, because I really wanted to talk about this.
Well,
it was a great
and I
series.
Appreciate that. And as I say, it was a, you know, to do something like this,
the national
was
parks,
a
yeah.
labor of love. And I'm very appreciative of Judy Pylak and Todd Manley. Saying, yes, go ahead and do this story. You know, simply put, it's the 100th anniversary of what Wallace Stegner, the writer, called America's Best Idea. And having been to a couple of places that I'd never been to before and now having come back, that's a very, very good summation of what this is.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
So Dave. I hope folks at some point this year get out to see some of these places that are here.
Well, I got to tell you, I enjoy listening to this stuff. And sometimes, you know, when we have something that we're rolling on tape, I'm doing other things. I sat and listened to the whole thing because I just find it so captivating.
Great.
You always do a wonderful job.
Thank you very much,
absolutely.
Dave. Thank you.
Now, on the other side of the Tribune Tower, let's talk about this. 1847, the Chicago Tribune begins publishing. Excuse me, Trunk.
Oh, yes, right.
begins publishing.
It is now Trunk.
I just don't get it. I don't know if that was a good way to distract the press from the other things going on with Gannett, which I don't think that's over yet either, by the way.
Doesn't seem to be.
No. But founded in 1847 and formerly self-styled as the world's greatest newspaper, which, hello, WGN Radio and WGN Television stand for, world's greatest newspaper.
World's greatest newspaper.
And for folks that don't know, and I'm sure they do, though, that WGN Radio is owned by Tribune Media, as well as WGN Television and dozens of other stations. Tribune Publishing is a separate entity, completely different now.
Yeah, right. All of this happened after the reorganization.
Exactly. So it remains the most read daily newspaper of the Chicago metropolitan area and the Great Lakes region. It is currently the 8th largest newspaper in the United States by circulation. It became the 2nd largest under Tribune's ownership after the Chicago Tribune's parent company purchased the Los Angeles Times. The Tribune was founded by James Kelly, Johnny Wheeler, and Joseph K.C. Forrest, publishing its first edition June 10th, 1847.
Then I can
and
remember.
They're rolling in their graves right now.
I can remember. Yes, Trunk?
Yeah.
What's this?
Trunk.
I remember when they had the 150th anniversary a few years back now,
yeah.
that the article pointed out that first edition, unfortunately, doesn't exist anymore. You know?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
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 The first edition,
don't know what was in it, you know, what the news of the day might have been. I know that I found some editions going back to the Civil War era on microfilm at the library.
Wow, that's cool.
You know what I found? Very quickly, I found the Chicago Tribune edition reporting on Abraham Lincoln's remarks at Gettysburg.
Wow. Think about that. But 1847, it's just a shame that so much of this content is no longer available. And I'm going to say this on a completely lighter level, because I've talked about this before, is in broadcasting, there's so much content that's no longer available or doesn't exist anymore from the days of radio to television. That's why I joined the Broadcasting Museum Board almost 15 years ago, actually, is to help preserve some of this stuff. But like, you know, we talked about the first, like, Bozo is not available. There's newscasts that are legendary, iconic newscasts that don't exist from the 1940s and 50s, and in radio even earlier than that.
Things weren't recorded. The recordings weren't saved.
Yeah.
It was harder to do that, you know, in the earlier years than it is now.
Yeah.
But, things weren't preserved and weren't saved as they are today.
Yep.
And as they say, as easily as they could be saved today.
That's absolutely true. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that down the road here. In 1920, Farmer Labor Party, or if you're listening, you can call in. The Farmer Labor Party was organized in 1920 right here in Chicago. International Association of Machinists Strike in Bridgeport developed into a labor party in five Connecticut towns in the summer of 1918, and the powerful Chicago Federation of Labor, led by President John Fitzpatrick and Secretary Ed Knuckles, adopted the cause of a labor party in the fall of that same year. Economic dislocation. Dislocation. I'm tired, Dave.
This is
the end of my day. This is the beginning of your day, end of my day. The economic dislocation caused by American entry into World War I put agricultural prices. I don't even know.
Dislocation?
It was something like that. So listen. So wages and imbalance with rapidly escalating retail prices during the war years, and farmers and workers sought to make common cause in the political sphere to address their grievances. So the first Farmer Labor Party organized in 1920. This is how I
moving
get
right along, ladies
this is
and
how
gentlemen.
I get. I got a good night's sleep too before I came in.
Would it be de-escalation?
De-escalation. Thank you. But it says dislocation, economic dislocation. All right. 1922, early 1922, President Harding had a radio installed in the White House. At the time, radio was the hottest technology there was, and the White House was on the cutting edge. President Harding was also the first president to use radio, dedicating the Francis Scott Key Memorial in Baltimore live on the air.
And that was before the what we now know the national anthem. That was before we had a national anthem,
isn't that something?
Actually. Yeah, because it was Herbert Hoover that signed the legislation making the Star-Spangled Banner our national anthem.
That is correct. All right, the Chicago Tribune in 1930, involved with Al Capone here, reporter Jake Lingle is killed during rush hour at the Illinois Central train station by the Leo Vincent brothers, allegedly over $100,000 U.S. gambling debt owned to Al Capone. So this is Chicago Tribune reporter Jake Lingle, dead, 1930.
And here we are laughing about it.
Well, I mean, but it was all due to a gambling debt. Think about $100,000 in 1930.
That's still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's a crazy amount of money. All right, 1934, the first showing of a Donald Duck cartoon. Donald Duck first appeared in the 1934 cartoon, The Wise Little Hen, which was part of the Silly Symphony series of cartoon shorts.
Who was the guy that originally did the voice for Donald Duck? It wasn't Mel Blanc, was it?
No. Mel really didn't do a lot of Disney stuff.
It was Disney. It wasn't Warner Brothers.
Dick Lundy created him. Joey's going to look that up right now. Who was the original voice of Donald Duck? I see him typing away as we speak.
Okay.
1939, Baseball Hall of Fame opens in Cooperstown, New York. Here, let's pod that down, buddy. Baseball Hall of Fame opens up in New York in 1939. Another passion of yours, Dave.
Yes.
just over 40,000 three-dimensional items, 3 million books and documents, and 500,000 photographs. What was your favorite part of visiting that museum?
The favorite part of it was just the fact that there's something for everyone there. There's something for every team in Major League Baseball, some sort of historical memento, if you will. I think the media section was also, there's a whole section devoted to the great baseball announcers, radio and TV.
Oh,
and of course,
that.
I sought out Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey, and another person who is in and who played a very important role in not only broadcast media, but print media, and helping Jackie Robinson ascend and get into the what we now know as the mainstream of baseball, Wendell Smith, who was a broadcaster here on WGN.
Right, yeah. Very cool, Dave. Love that. You are a walking encyclopedia, my friend. I'm going to step back a little bit and talk about 1933. It's today. Today is National Drive-In Movie Day, observed annually on June 6th. And Richard Hollingshead, Jr. of Camden, New Jersey, was a creator of the Drive-In Theater. Hollingshead's Drive-In opened in New Jersey on June 6, 1933. I am a very big fan of the Drive-In. I actually wrote an article for Nostalgia Digest magazine. We have Steve Darnall on once in a while, but I just love the Drive-In. I've gone to the one in McHenry, but it's further away from me. I go to the one in West Chicago. It's on North Avenue. And my kids said to me when they saw that Finding Dory, which is a sequel to Finding Nemo, is coming out in mid-June, my 11-year-old said, well, I want to see this at the drive-in.
That's great.
There's not a lot of kids that you go there and you're literally playing football in the parking lot with other kids. You're playing ball. You're meeting your neighbors. It's people from every walk of life at the drive-in. The concession stand, I will tell you, they have not touched it since 1972. But it's cool. But I love it. It just gives – I feel like a kid when I go there.
Yeah.
And the sound quality is really cool and everything. I've got a couple little audio clips. One is of the drive-in intermission that I want to share with you. Joey?
If leaving, please replace your inner car speaker before releasing brakes or starting motor.
And by the way, they play these.
Back out.
These classic
ones. Do they still play them?
Absolutely. Before and during the intermissions, yeah.
And now, for those remaining – it's intermission time. Time for that stretch you've been wanting. And best of all, time to take your pick from that scrumptious array of tasty treats waiting for you at the snack bar.
That still have been there since 1972.
Yeah, exactly.
The cold drinks are sparkling. The hot dogs are sizzling.
Or sparkling.
The coffee is steaming. And a luscious treasure of your favorite ice cream flavors as you like it.
I love it. How classic is that?
That's great. We had a couple drive-ins in Northwest Indiana where I grew up. One was right at the intersection of Ridge Road and Indianapolis Boulevard, or rather Klein Avenue, right at the Highland, Indiana, Griffith, Indiana line that was there for many years. And then out in Merrillville, Indiana, there was the Y&W drive-in. And were both cool.
I loved going to the Twin in Wheeling. That was a big deal to go there because I did it as a kid, and then we'd load up the... We had a cottage up in Wisconsin, so we'd blow up the life rafts and put them in the trunk of the Gran Torino station wagon and then pop open the trunk and watch the movie. And then in high school, we'd hide in trunks, of course, to in so that you had two people. And it was always two guys in the front seat, and I know they'd be like, what the hell is this? You know, but we would get through for whatever reason, you know. Especially after you're drinking and you're sitting in the trunk of a car. It wasn't very pleasant, let me tell you. but it was a blast.
It was a rough ride.
It was a rough ride. And my folks tell me about the Harlem and Forest Preserve. There was one over there, too, that we used to go to, I guess, when we were younger kids. But there's about 400 left in the country. And I know the West Chicago one, they almost had the land sold from under them. And now I think they extended the lease. So they'll be around for a long time to come. Here's another one. Here's another clip. It's great. It's about selling cigarettes at the drive-in. Let's take a listen.
Guess what? Guess what would taste good right now to everyone in the car?
Cigarettes? Here they are.
The favorite of young and old alike.
Cigarettes. Here they are. I love that.
Come on down.
Everyone in the car, even the kids. Because they're going to get some secondhand smoke anyway. Hey, who's the original voice of Donald Duck? Did you find that out?
Clarence Nash.
Oh, Clarence Nash. Oh, I should have known that all along.
Yeah, you should have.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the legend. All right, 1965, Sonny and Cher make their first TV appearance. What show do you think that was on?
65?
Yeah.
Ed Sullivan?
It was not Ed Sullivan.
It was not Ed Sullivan.
It was American Bandstand.
American sure.
And this is the song they sang.
Baby Don't Go.
Baby Don't Go.
Yeah.
Wasn't I Got You, Babe.
I Got You, Babe, right.
But if you watch the video of this, it's amazing. She's like 17, 18.
Young?
Oh, she was way younger than Sonny.
Than Sonny?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was a cradle robber, yeah. Talk about some hippies. There they are.
Yeah.
1976.
Some flower power there.
Yeah,
on
you
the
betcha.
Set.
You betcha. 1976, The Gong Show premiered on television, of course. J.P. Morgan, Jamie Farr, Artie Johnson, Rip Taylor, Phyllis Diller, Anson Williams, Rex Reed, the regulars, Chuck Barris.
Jamie Farr was on The Gong Show?
Always. He was a regular. He was a regular on that
show. In the 70s. That was before.
No,
that was
MASH.
During MASH. Yeah, okay.
It was during MASH.
Yeah.
That was his side job. Yep.
Okay.
1978, Grease premiered.
The movie did.
The movie did with John Travolta.
And Olivia Newton-John,
of course.
How
yeah.
well I remember.
Think about that as a summer blockbuster.
It
know?
Was.
I mean, that was a big deal. And it's still big on Broadway. And I think it was on Broadway before it was in the movies, but it's
yes,
still big
it was
on Broadway.
It was a Broadway show before the film was made, yes.
Yep, yep. 1985, pretty tragic. Coca-Cola announced they were bringing back their 99-year-old formula after they took that big risk and introduced New Coke. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Why would you do that? That is still probably one of the most biggest marketing product blunders in the history of America.
That and the Edsel.
And the Edsel. We'll put that on that list.
Have you ever seen the story about the Edsel, why it was named that?
Uh-uh.
Edsel was the first name of Henry Ford's son or grandson. Mm-hmm. That was his first name. And the company insisted that their, you know, this new product, this new car that they were going to make, made by Ford Motor Company, of course, it was going to be called the Edsel. I saw an interview with a marketing guy or a PR guy that worked for Ford at the time. He said every test marketing or every what we now call a focus group, maybe, that they would run that name by, they didn't like it. But
wow,
doesn't matter. This is going to be the Edsel.
Wow.
And it lasted not quite 3 years.
Yeah, it was barely 3 years. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. 1993, Jurassic Park opened, setting box office weekend records. They made $502 million. It was the first movie to hit that mark. 2004, on a more serious note, American actor and the 40th president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, died June 5th, 2004, 12 years ago, and his funeral was held at the Washington National Cathedral. Let's listen to a original news report.
The death of President Reagan sets off a week of ceremonies and remembrance and services during which his body will lie in state in Washington prior to burial in California. Tonight, Tom Brokaw has a look back at an extraordinary life.
As a boy, I saw streets filled with Model Ts. As a man, I have met men who walked on the moon. I have not only seen but lived the marvels of what historians have called the American century.
And there you have it. There you have it, the late Ronald Reagan. All right, Walter Jacobson's perspective coming up next on 720 WGN.